Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throllers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. Hang on, Chris.
Gets me up and about.
It really does.
It's such a good beat.
I like it every time. It's so good. I'm such a big fan of it.
I'm awesome. Short week. Taking tomorrow off as a cheeky sick day, something or other. I don't know. But Theo's turning two tomorrow. So
big.
God, short week crazy. For me this week. Yeah.
Two. Yikes.
Yes.
Nah, that's awesome. I got tomorrow off as well. That's pretty nice. I went and saw The Offspring and Simple Plan last night. And so I was like, oh, I'll take the Thursday off work. And then I was like, well, if I'm going to have Thursday off work, I'd be rude to show up on a Friday, wouldn't it? So I just took both days off and was like, cool, I guess I got a four-day weekend. So today was mostly spent in bed, and I think I'll be more productive tomorrow.
Did you say g'day to Buckets Farina while you're there?
Oh, was he there? No. Nah,
he was.
I missed him. I got a message from Taryn. So Taryn was there as well with Yaz, but didn't catch up with them. But as I was leaving, I ran into Papa Hart and Baby Hart. So everyone was there.
Look out.
Yeah.
Big disc golf reunion.
Exactly. So it was a bit of fun. It was great. They put on a great show. So that was really cool.
Awesome.
Fun time.
That's cool.
Indeed. We got way more responses to the shirts than I anticipated. I don't know about you, but like how many people were you thinking were going to sign up for some shirts?
10 tops?
Yeah. Yeah. We got loads.
We did.
We got loads at the moment. Look, at a rough count, we're in the high 20s.
We're surpassed 30. We're past 30.
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah.
So, that's really cool. So very exciting. It's going to be really cool seeing all this stuff out there, out in the wild.
Oh, so good.
So
yeah.
We'll put the order in tomorrow. We'll finalize all that stuff. And yeah, should be sick. So hopefully, I'll have to figure out how long it took last time. But it was like a few weeks, 3 or 4 weeks,
couple
I think.
A couple of weeks, yeah. Yeah, 2 to 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah, nice. Well, that'd be good. That'd be very good. Gareth was hopeful that I might get it out to Jono in Tintinara.
Good segue.
Exactly, which is a nice little plug. So for anyone who hasn't played the Tintinara tee off, then it's a good one. Get on board if you're on the fence. It's on the King's birthday weekend, which is only 3 or 4 weeks away, I think, and they accommodate people coming in for, fly in, fly out, essentially, or drive in, drive out. So Tinty's like 6 hours from Melbourne or something, which kind of sucks, but not the end of the world. And it's a cool little course in a tiny little baby town. So they've got a 22-hole course, I think I got the caddy book for, and it's like a 1 o'clock start. So I will be almost certainly driving up Saturday morning, having a stretch and having a throw, and then bang, straight into 22 holes. And then they've got some accommodation in town because it is a town, but it's not very big. But otherwise, the footy club got on board last year, which is right there on the course, and they open up the facilities for anyone who wanted to camp and stuff. So basically, they bring in random 50 people to the town for a weekend, and we buy food at the pub and drinks at the pub and coffees and all that sort of stuff, so they get around the tournament, which is really cool. So the footy club facilities be open up, and be able to chill there, camp there. It's gonna, and then do a early ish morning on Sunday and drive home, and then I still got the Monday off, so I can't wait. I think it's gonna be sick.
Nice. That's solid. That sounds like a good weekend. I'm very jealous.
Yeah, I haven't been to Tinty in a few years, so I'm excited to get back to that one. And the camping events are always good. So Tintinara tee off, it's cheap. It's like $30 or something like that as well. Get around it if you've got nothing better to do. And how could you? How could you have anything better to do?
Exactly.
but that's not the only thing. So I think we talked about the Hopkin Heiser the other week when it was announced, but I didn't actually realize that it was open for retro. So it well and truly is, so get on board of that. I haven't done it yet, but I think I'm going to try to get up for one of the days. I might be getting persuaded to go play into the MPO division. I think it's just the Two Hearts Parish and then someone else, and they're trying to get me to jump into that on day two or something, I think. So I don't know. I'll see how, I'll see how this shakes out. It's part of the Victor, so I wouldn't mind staying in MA1 and getting some nice little bonus points if it's a small field. So we shall see. But Hopkins Heiser is in like 3 weeks. It's a week before Tinsy, I think. So get on that. And Melbourne Celebrates just opened today. And we're back at Bundoora. And it's split divisions, two rounds a day over 2 days. And it's going to be nice. It's going to be really good. Kalen's working on the course design. It's going to be very similar to the one we played last year, which was sick. So, lots and lots of tourneys on the moment, which is excellent.
Look at you go. How good is it not having children?
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking a bit of that last night, like when I was out. Two of my mates had kids, so like one of them was driving and then one of them was just drinking responsibly and caught the train home. And then went out after with a buddy from work who went as well. And yeah, he no kids, so he's like, sure, Wednesday night, let's go. And I was like, oh, Taz, we should meet up. He's like, nah, I gotta go relieve the babysitter. I was like, oh, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
It's just a bit more chill, a bit more easy going when you don't have the kids. Exactly.
I mean, I'm not envious. It's fine.
No.
It's fine.
We'll move on. But yeah, loads and loads of tourneys on, so make sure you get into at least one, if not more of them. It's going to be busy few weeks. What do we got next? Stony Social Day on the weekend. Not many made it out.
That was light on.
Yeah. A bit going on that weekend with the Masters event, so understandable that it was quiet, but I didn't think it was going to be that quiet. How many was it, two people in Div A?
Something like that, yeah.
Yikes. So, not ideal. I don't have, do you have the division breakdown stuff ahead of you? I've only got the whole one.
Yeah, I do. Just having a quick glance, there was just Peter Chu and Penn Lu going toe-to-toe. So, obviously, Penn would have had a 6-7, 8-stroke victory there, was it?
No. Got rolled.
Got rolled by Peter Chu in his first ever league day victory, Peter Chu.
That's crazy. When that stat got dropped on our desk, I was like, nah. Remember, he came like second in the overall thing last season or the season before that or something like that. But apparently just a lot of second place finishes.
Look out.
Wild. So that was cool, Pete. Neg 9, that's almost your break even.
Exactly. It's pretty solid. It's just slightly subpar. but it's good enough. It's good enough when only Penn turns up, apparently. in Div P, we had Tim Stevenson. This is a bit spicier for Div B. We had Tim Stevenson go -7, which got the victory by 4 strokes over the Cannon Gannon. And Chu and Toby also managed to go under the card there with a -1. So well done there to Tim Stevenson. I'm sure we'll see his name up near the tippy top of the handicap.
-1 for Chu after being on a tear. I don't know where he's pulling a -1 from. Didn't he shoot like 2 or 3 down one of the rounds at Bendigo and then he rolls up to Stony with a -1?
I think so, yeah.
All right. No worries.
Michael S. Smith, not to confuse with the other Michael Smith, shot a +6 to get it done in Div C over Miguel and Paul Rogers. We had Josh Green and Reese Vesvesvex in the no metric trading. So that'll be coming through shortly. But what we absolutely have to point out here is in the non-member Div Z, we had a -3 from my mate, Pat Aldridge.
Oh, big time.
Yeah,
very nice score, Pat.
Yeah. New course PB for him.
Nice.
Since the layout's tweaked. And that's very solid. Started on hole 3 with an OB bogey. And that's how he started. Like, he must get hole 3. And then cleaned it up from there. And yeah, scraped in a minus three that he was very, very chuffed with.
There you go. No, that's sick. Very good round. Another, I guess I'm just spotting all the negatives today, but that's fine. That's why there's two of us. I'm seeing Josh Quinn's name with a plus two, the MA4 champ.
Juggernaut.
This is just off cuff here, but I would have to imagine that maybe his PDJ rating is 100 points higher than his metrics rating. I don't know what's going on here, but he can't handle that social day pressure. Disappointed to miss that one. I was keen. I hadn't been to Stony for a minute, so I was going to get out to that one. But I had a prior engagement with my old man. He got me up on the Friday night to help with some of the social stuff at the Aussie Masters, which didn't really end up needing to do that, but that's fine. And it was a fun night. I enjoyed it. And then, then I just hung out there on the Saturday and catered for him and stuff. But, we'll get to that. So I did not make it, but yeah, not many people did. The overall handicap winner was a tie, which we were pretty sure this is not possible, but
it gets us every time.
It really does. Look, if you look at it, the top two, so 38.75 was the total sum, because somehow Pete and Tim both have nice 0.25 handicaps here, but everyone else is messed up. Like, they're all, like, one of them's 16.92 is the person's handicap. Like, these should never ever line up. I don't get what's going on. And Pete, like, Pete's handicap would be, he'd have 100 rounds in that. Like, I don't, yeah, anyway. Doesn't happen, but apparently it always happens.
It does. It always happens.
And then, you mentioned a nice round from the Cannon there in third and Pat in fourth. So nice work by those guys. And at the not so good end with Dolly, who is normally a bullet at the top, finds herself on the bottom for the first time I can ever remember thinking. So it must have been a rough day out there for Dolly. And Simon McKay, Miguel, and Emmanuel all down the bottom too. So I didn't even know those people. But Stoney was not their friend.
I have to wonder around Dolly. Do you think anyone has played those 18 holes and hit the triple digits for the amount of throws?
No.
No. I don't think so either.
No.
Plus 44, just to go nice and round exactly for the exact century. I'd like to think that she turned a bogey into a double bogey on the last hole, just to really just make deliberate. Sure, we hit that 100. But
it must be.
I just don't see that happening very often.
I think she's I just think she's gaming the system here. So she's won 100 social day prizes for the handicap victory, and she might be starting to slip a little. So she's like, let's blow it up. Let's blow it up so that I win again. So watch her win the next five handicaps, all because she takes one 100.
Well done, Dolly.
That's chess.
It's chess. It's $25 every time. There's worse way to spend your weekend.
Not bad. Like, it's a good get.
Yeah.
So, and you just got to take 100 every once in a while. Like, why not?
Why not?
I talked about the Masters tournament. So we'll have a little bit of a shout into that. And first off, just a big, great job to everyone involved with that. I know it was the brainchild of my old man and Anthony Pearsall, but the work was done by many, many people. So I think, the other half of Bespoke, Michael did a lot of stuff. I know that TD extraordinaire Reese did a mountain of work for him as well. I'm sure there was a whole bunch of others. I should have asked the old man for a bit of a list, but we don't.
Feel like was Neski get involved a bit?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him get a shout out somewhere.
So plenty of stuff going on. Definitely should have looked more into that. But everyone involved did an amazing job, and it's just such a cool. So like, this thing didn't exist 6 months ago, and from all reports, the states are now fighting over who gets it next year.
Yeah, so, as they should be.
Yeah, it was a big deal. They got huge. They got over 100 people, way more interstate visitors than we got for the Vic Open. And it just goes to show that, and I think we'd seen this somewhere else throughout this week, but it resonates very true that, you know, major, state championship, whatever, these are all just titles, things we put on stuff. If you run a good event at a good course, then it becomes a big deal. So this has become a big deal. Everybody knows that when Jeff's involved, it's going to be a great event. There was amazing communication from the start. They got a website straight away. They put stuff out for raffles and things. The logo went out and hit everyone in the face. You know, he went on to the tee off, and they were just doing stuff left, right, and center to put it out there, organized all the fun activities, which ended up sort of getting screwed, but they had it. Like, they ran a State of Origin event on the Friday, all this stuff. Just they made it important. They made it a special thing. And it was a tournament that was nothing that now is something. So just, yeah, just goes to show what you can do if you want to put the time and effort in.
It might be my, like, if I travel interstate for disc golf next year, it'll be for this more so than nationals,
yeah,
for sure.
Sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that...
No doubt.
I bet you if you speak to a lot of the players who play, that would be their sentiment in it. I know just... So I didn't go to day two at Xavier, but day one, I can tell you the course was looking fantastic. So they had the bullseyes and all the circles painted, nice thick paint lines, good solid circles, no wavy crap. Like, I don't know, they looked good. They looked really nice. They had the koozies on every single one of the baskets underneath the basket to the ground. They had the
and is that I'm assuming that's a bespoke job.
Would have been, I'm sure. It was a sponsor koozie thing, you know, with the what's it called, like the plastic cardboard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
Corfu.
So that was looking really nice. They had banners around the top of the baskets, you know, with Aussie Masters stuff on them. Like, it just looked really nice, really professional. It was great. So yeah, just a super good tournament, really well won and really well received. And like I said, they're essentially now going to try to have to put together like a committee to decide who runs it for the next few years, and then it's going to get to the stage where this is going to be just like the ADGC, and the ADG is basically going to have to step in and be like, all right, we'll help coordinate this.
Yeah, cool.
So really, really cool. Really, really exciting. But we'll go to the disc golf. Oh, yeah.
Fuck, I hope WA don't get it. Like,
next year. It's on the list.
Give it to, like, Tassie or just somewhere close that I'm half a chance. Come on.
Well, I know. Yeah, I know there's a few states that would really care. I think WA and Queensland for sure were super keen. I'm sure with New South Wales as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. And I think it seems like they get the vibe of it too. Like, it's going to be, you know, a good approachable course, you know, because even they went over to WA and played Fine Lines or whatever, like, they've got 100 courses on that, so they can make it work. They got the accommodation. Like, everyone seems to get the vibe, so I think it's gonna awesome. Stick. Yeah,
awesome.
The State of Origin thing was a pretty good concept. Did we end up getting? We got results from that from Alex, didn't we?
We did. We did. We just had to circle into the metrics event, which I might just try to wing it and go to metrics instead of going to the chat from Alex. They scored it up on metrics. It was on the Friday, and remind me, Aces must have been...
So the way they did it, it was separated into groups of four with people with a similar rating to you, and they were separated into teams of, I don't know how many, like, there were six or seven teams based on, you know, a state that you can associate with. So they were asked, any Victorians, if, you know, if they have affiliation with another state, like, they live there, they were born there, they whatever, to be able to do that. And so they got some pretty fair teams out of it, which was good. But yeah, you end up on a card of four, and it was match play, essentially. So if you beat everybody, all three people on it, then you would get 3 points. So you would just put your score down as a three. And so everyone else in the car will get zero. And then, yeah, if you beat two people, you get two, da-da-da-da. And if you beat one person, you get one. That's why it shows a lot of aces coming up on the thing. Yep. I thought that was a very creative idea. I think Alex came up with that. And
yeah,
that made it very simple at the end because you could just look whoever had the biggest number had the most points. So good idea with that. But yeah, it just shows a lot of aces.
Awesome. So instead of looking at who's the most under the card,
the opposite.
You want to look at who's had the most strokes.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not always the opposite, which is pretty fun. So in South Australia, the best player was Brett Bobridge, and he went 9 under, but he got 18 points. So he's the top in both ways.
Big.
which is like confusing to get my head around. I just got to stop looking at the unders.
Yeah.
For Western Australia, Chris Finn took home 21 points. That's going to get it done. In New South Wales, both Stuart Ward and Andrew Wisniewski took home 21 points. That's got to be looking good for New South Wales. In Queensland, you had Matt Hunter taking home 19. Rest of the world, you had Lenny taking home 19. Rest of Australia, wow-wee. You had Tim Jolly take home 27 points.
Yeah.
And Rob Hall take home 24. Oofed. That's looking good for the rest of Australia.
Yeah. So I think the Tim, what was the name? Sorry? Tim someone? I don't have the thing in front of me at the moment.
Tim Jolly.
I think he is sort of new to the game, but much better than his rating would suggest. So he ended up with some people that were a similar rating and just smoked them.
Yeah.
Which did plenty of work. I think they won it pretty comfortably. I've got the leaderboard up here. So after they did, yeah, the full 18 holes on the Friday, and Victoria was dead last with the 64. Queensland in 78, South Australia 80, rest of the world 87, Western Australia 93, New South Wales 107, but with an absolute bullet, rest of Australia 135. So rest of Australia was just Tassie and Canberra, I'm pretty sure.
Bang.
And the Tassie boys did a lot of the heavy lifting there. So that was really cool. I came up there after that and they had stuff going on in the club rooms. We're playing cornhole and yeah, it was a lot of good fun. Really good bags. So nice shout out to Rad Accessories. The old man gave Reese some of these plastic pebbles and I think some gravel, or he added some gravel. I don't know. Anyway. And
you mean Rat Accessories?
Yeah. What did I say?
Rad.
Oh yeah, so Rat Accessories. Yeah. And he made these sick cornhole bags. Like they're really cool. Nice. Yeah. So that was really, really cool.
Would they be PDGA approved in the cornhole world?
Sure. Yeah. Exactly. Okay, sweet. Nah, they're to code. They're the right. They're the right size, and shape, and white and weight.
Yeah,
and
that's what I'm checking. Yeah, I wasn't being facetious. I know that's a thing.
It is. Nah, it was cool. That was a fun night. I know Matt Hunter's dad was there, and I think they must be a bit of locals at the club, and he got really into it. He played a couple games and then went and got his tape measure and then started taking measurements of the cornhole. He's like, I'm a carpenter, I'm going to make myself a set. So
cool.
So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, on to the actual disc golf. So it was one round at Vic Park. Everybody played the blues and I didn't think too much of it until I was caddying for the old man, and basically any of the par fours were just instant bogeys.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I guess I haven't played with the old man in a bit, but like he's never been a power thrower, but the distance is off. But yeah. So it was basically the same for his whole division. So Mike Cansey, he can sling, but most of the others were battling. So that might have been an idea that for the 60 and overs might have played the yellows, but none of them were really complaining, which was fine. They were just taking their bogeys and moving on. But yeah, one round of the blues, and then they went to Xavier and finished up there. And it was pretty spicy in some of these divisions.
Definitely.
We had two women in the FA 70 division, which was pretty crazy. So Gail and Julianne Jolly. And Gail absolutely smoked her. So she's an OG and she says, I still got it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The MA 60, we had a million divisions, so we'll buzz through them. But the MA 64, unsurprisingly, taken out by Nicholas Hall, the man, 65, sorry, is very, very good. So a plus 10 overall is some solid disc golf by him. And he takes that out very big over Tim Jolly, which who we mentioned before.
Yeah. Brenda Ryan playing solo in FA 60, got a plus 56, got it done, and tied with obviously our mate Nick Hall in MA 65. MA 60, the winner was Andrew Wisniewski by a stroke over Michael Cansey. And then your dad ends up taking out podium finish to make that cash line.
Yeah, we like that. He had a rough first round. I can take some blame for that because I was on the bag for him and I was, I don't know, maybe suggesting some stuff or getting in his head a little about some things. And I learned to just stop talking and let him play his game. But a lot of it was just the distance, but and one really, really bad hole. But other than that, and then he recovered pretty well once he got to the more technical course at Mount Xavier, which makes a lot of sense. He overtook Andy Simpson to get into third place. Well done there, old man.
Yeah, sick. Sue Donnelly and Tanya Bian also had a ring-a-ding-ding tied after round one, both on plus 20. Sue Donnelly was able to pull away by five strokes in the end to take it out. Well done, Sue. MA55, this was obviously going to be our tip from the outset, and he got it done by 9 strokes in the end. Mr. Carey Edwards over Eamsy and Rob Hall, who had a tight battle for second and third and a lot of movement. It's such contrasting courses. You can see quite a lot of movement coming from the long course into this wooded course. It's kind of cool. So a lot of people are in the mix, but Carey ran away with that one.
Yeah, huge. Way too good there, Carey. MA50, massive division. 25 players in that one, and it gets taken out by Josh Conroy pretty comfortably over our man Cranny. So the damage was mostly done at Xavier. So Cranny was only one behind with, I think, like a plus one or something, or no, plus three maybe, at on the Blues in Vic Park, which is, that's good golf. So right there, but then, yes, Josh Conroy went 4 strokes better to take it out. Richard Lewis Schell there in third place, and Diamond Dan Hartley tied with Mike van der Linden in fourth place. Pretty funny there. Diamond Dan is one of the OGs of the Melbourne Club and tied with Mike van der Linden, the current Melbourne Club president.
The new G.
The new G. Exactly.
In FA 40, Kim Michelle got it done again in another tight one. So after round one, we had a bit of a bottleneck in the podium. We had 3 players within just 2 strokes between Margaret Traill, obviously the new Victorian local, Joanne McCamish, and Kim Michelle. But and Kim holds on when they head off to Mount Xavier to get the victory by 3 strokes. So that's probably got to be Kim's biggest victory, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's great. That's a huge get. Very nice shooting by her, and beating some solid competitors. That's a good win there, Kim.
Well done. MA40.
Yeah, that was a nice one. That was really fun to watch. After day one, we had Huss in the lead. I think she was the only one potentially under par. Or
2 under.
Yeah, she only was 2 under. Yeah. Which is so good. So 2 under on the Blues is very nice. 956 rated, if you don't mind. And then it got pretty interesting in the wooded one, I guess. So still put together a nice round. But Charles Duplessis charged home. Yeah, he was looking good at cornhole on Friday night too, so he was in the mix for a bit of everything. But very solid round at Vic Park, and the hot round of the day at Xavier was enough to get it done by 1 over Brad Turner And Huss, yeah, slipped into second as well.
Glenn Maisie with the dirty throw-in on hole 18.
Oh, spicy. I didn't know that. That's good.
Yeah, an eagle, hole 18. That's a decent throw-in.
That's huge.
Yeah, you're not getting a drive typically. It's very close on that hole.
No, that's really good. Well done there. I did get the story from Schlobom, our friend John from Tassie, because if you look on hole 18, I'm pretty sure he took a seven. Yeah. And that's you take a three on that hole. So that's like essentially a quad bogey. And he finished plus five. And the winner was plus one. So I guess he had a putt to run it. He ran a putt to tie it. So I guess that would have been a birdie putt. Hits the cage and then rolled into the OB River. And then he misses the putt from there, I guess. And then that's all she wrote. So he was right there. I guess if it had just hit and sat, then he's tied for second. If it goes in, they're in a playoff. But instead, he's fifth.
Ouch.
Brutal. And
that lead card must have been ring-a-ding-ding coming down the stretch. And I think Huss put something up on socials, breaking it down a bit. They all just, obviously it's a tough stretch down the back there, 14, 15, 16, 17. I wish 18 had a bit more separation in it. If you ignore John, it doesn't have any separation in it. Charles was just the most consistent going, you know, even through that back six was fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Nah, well done there, Charles. Good victory.
Yep.
MP70. I think these guys were actually the feature card for round one. So when we get Parks coverage, that's who you'll be seeing. Charlie Mead didn't end up making it out, but Bob Gentile, Bruce McNaughton, Mark Powers were all there, and they put in Leroy Sharrock as well, was the fourth. So that'd be a very fun feature card. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I know there was a bit of shenanigans going on, and Leroy came dressed in his absolute finest. So yes. He's normally a man who wears some out there stuff, and he came in a very nice outfit. I saw him looking good on Saturday morning. So so that'd be cool. But that was a bit of a flip floppy one. We had Bob Gentile with the lead after round one over Brucey Boy, the world champion, by one stroke only. And Bruce caught him quickly, early in round two. And then the script got flipped right back. And Bob takes the four-stroke win over Brucey Boy. And I saw on his socials he was pretty excited about it.
Oh, as he should be. Bruce is a huge scalp. Obviously, we're talking about a world champion here. And then also, Bob just didn't bogey between bloody holes 14 and 18.
Jeez.
Like, I've never got through 14 and 18 without a bogey.
That's so good. Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
Huge effort. And if you have a look at, like, the plus five overall is great shooting.
It is.
Especially you consider the length on the Blues at Vic Park. So MP70, this division is. And that plus five overall would have tied in with John for fifth in MA40. So that's good going. That's very, very good going.
Absolutely, yeah.
MP50s, how are they looking?
Yeah, so Chris Hart gets a W. I wonder, I feel like it's been a while between drinks for Chris Hart, to take home a W. Nice to, obviously, they put up a tournament with a few other, and now he gets to play. He's probably the young buck in that division. Chris has got to be not a day over 50 and one day old, surely.
No, I can't imagine too much. And he does normally have to go up against all these the killers in the MP40 division. So you're probably right. It probably has been a minute.
Yeah. So well done, Chris. I'd like to think that particularly Victoria Hart, let's call it.
Victoria.
He must have been throwing some of those janky sidearm rollers, which are, they are the weirdest thing to watch, but he can make them talk, and I've seen him do some cool things, particularly on that dog leg hole at Vic Park. So, yeah, he got it done. -3 overall is fire.
Excellent score.
Yeah, even at Xavier is all he needed to do. And he played a 950 event. Mm. So that's huge. Well done, Chris Hart.
Yeah, that's sick. -3 at Lick Park on the Blues. That's good golf. He said that was his new PB. And I think if I had a shot at it, it would be mine. I don't think I've gone -3 on the Blues. So, yeah, very well done there, buddy. What about awesome, the big dogs? Bro. How did the main event, how did that all shake out?
Not great.
It was a bit of roller coaster action, wasn't it?
Yeah. Chris Finn got it done. And that we don't like saying that on the podcast. So at Vic Park, Tim Ware, up at about Tim Ware, 975 rated disc golf, ties it up with Chris Finn after round one. And Darren Staysmith takes out third after round one with a chill little -1, 947. Obviously, as we've just highlighted, getting smoked there by Chris Hart. Feezy must jet lag or something, just with a casual even, 938 from a 999 disc golfer. Not what we're looking for. Chris Scott, fresh off his big victory. Probably a bit of too much head wobble there. Needed probably a neck brace to hold that head up, especially after featuring on the lesser known tee off as well. And then obviously Josh Smith down the bottom. We needed some things. We needed Tim Ware to just pull one out of the bag at Xavier. We needed Daz to fire up, and we thought he could at Xavier. We needed something. We didn't want to say Chris Finn would win, but we got nothing. Simon Feezy came to play, but obviously he was too far back. He ended up doing enough to get second. Tim Ware held onto the podium to take some cash home. Daz falls outside of the cash line, and as does Chris Scott and Josh Smith. Darren, two shots away from tying with Josh Smith.
Yeah. Just,
I don't know what to say.
I don't know if you had that on your bingo card.
Nah.
But we did have some throwers guarantee action on the line here.
We
and it got surprisingly close. after round one, so it was just Josh Smith to beat anyone. His biggest chance of beating anyone was against Tunji. And
bloody hell.
I did specify no DNFs. And he DNF'd. So I was like, well, this is so good for me because I couldn't possibly see him beating any of the others. And after round one, he was a +5 overall, but Chris Scott was a +2, and I'd be all right. We didn't like that, but it'd be right. Feezy was the next worst at an even. I was like, Josh Smith ain't beating Feezy. Fast forward to round two, and Josh starts going like bang, bang, bang. Few early birdies. Daz up, few early bogeys. Chris Scott sort of doing birdies and bogeys, and all of a sudden it's a genuine three-horse race for last here. And I'm like, oh, shit. Thankfully, Josh comes in clutch with a triple bogey on hole 9.
How do you triple 9?
So that is my worst playing hole on that course by far.
Really?
I hate it. That's the uphill par 4, right?
Yeah.
I can't get to the corner, and then from there I stuff it. I end up in the shit. And I hate it, but now I love it. I saw that 7 come in and I was like, what a hole. the others took a bogey out of though, so it wasn't all, gone. But then a couple of birdie on hole 10 for Dazza and Chris Scott, and I'm like, all right, we're good here. Like, couldn't possibly lose it from there, but another couple birdies of each of them, and then Chris Scott's like, what if I bogeyed out? Bogey 13, when Josh takes a birdie, it's like a one-stroke game or something like that. And then, three more bogeys for Chris Scott. 15, 16, 17. But Josh is right there with him. He takes bogey on 15, bogey on 17. So it all comes down to... And Daz has gone like double bogey, bogey, bogey. so it's all coming down to hole 18. Basically, you just need a blow-up from Daz or a birdie-bogey sort of setup from Josh and Chris. And they both take the par. So Josh is bottom of MP40 by one stroke.
Yeah.
Let's go. So sure. 0 points for you, but it was tight. Chris was trying to get you in. He was trying hard.
Now that we've had a look at MP40, I just want to quickly circle back to Bob Gentle in MP70.
Yeah.
He is the only player in the entire field that did not bogey between 14 and 18.
That's crazy. It's really good. Those holes are hard.
Yeah. No one in MP40 managed to get through there unscathed. It's only Bob Gentle who got through there unscathed. So
that's
good.
Nuts. Yeah, the whole 15, 16, 17 killed all of MP40. Yep. Except for the top two. They took one bogey each, but everyone else was two, three, four, five over in those three holes. So you're right. It is a bit of a shame that 18 doesn't have more teeth, but even if you look at the MP40, there was only one birdie on it. So all right, 0 points for you. We'll have a look at my thrower's guarantee, which was in the MA40 division. I had Tony, Anthony Majin, pitted up against Lee Thompson, and it wasn't close from the start, and it wasn't close in the end.
Nope.
I must admit, I thought Lee would beat him, but when you gave me seven, I was like, well, I can't. Like, I didn't think he was going to beat him that badly, so I was like, that's my value. And man, am I glad I went with that. Tony killed it.
Outrageous.
He had
outrageous.
An even round at Xavier, which was the hot round of the day in MA40. Tie hot round with Glenn and Char. And like a decent plus six the first day. And Lee went plus eight, plus 12. So very, very comfortable. And 7 points adding on to my score. What does that get me at? 37 plus seven. You're the math teacher, Chris. What does that get us to?
44.
And we play into 50, so a six will get me home.
It will.
Okay. Oh, spicy, spicy, spicy.
Yeah. Yeah, we're definitely throwing the trollers in the mix this week.
Yeah, no shit. but no, that was cool. Like I said, it was an awesome event, and it's going to be a very popular thing moving forward. So really great work to everyone involved, and well done to all the winners, the inaugural Masters winners. Oh, another cool thing they did is Bespoke made bag tags for everyone. So they were handed out in terms of PDGA rating. And so, you know, Feezy would have got number one down, da-da-da-da. But one thing they did is they included a second bag tag in every player's pack so that when you went back home to your state or, you know, even to people in Victoria, you could hand that second one to a mate of yours so that there are twice as many. So now there's 200 bag tags floating around Australia for the Masters. So anytime any one of them heads to another state to play, they can probably find some old fogey and play the tags.
Nice. That is cool.
Yeah, that was a really good idea.
Yeah.
All right. We had another big event, not here, but over in the States, the Champs Cup.
We certainly did.
Was on. And that was a fair ring-a-ding-ding and a fair roller coaster.
Absolutely.
Did you get to watch much of it?
Yeah, I did. I watched chunks of it live, to be honest. So it started on the Friday. I didn't have much of a lesson on Friday morning at work, so I watched bits and bobs. Weekend happened. I definitely caught some of it over the weekend as well. And then, Monday I didn't get to watch as much live down the stretch. But, I watched bits and bobs. What about you?
Yeah, only a little bit here and there. So I was busy on the Masters weekend and stuff like that. So what did you see?
Well, first thing I saw was David Perry.
Yes.
Come out of the blocks hot round one and shot a neg 3 10-25 disc golf.
Big.
I've had a bit of a peruse of other Australians overseas. And from what I can tell, and we got some fact checkers out there, cough, cough, Chris Scott and other fact checkers. But from what I can tell, this is the highest ever rated round by an Australian on US soil.
Big. I believe it. We normally, when we go over there, we chump it up. But yeah. That's huge. Made the cut for day one. There was no cut for day one, but the cash line's the top 40. So if you had to put together three rounds exactly like that, he would have made the cut for
the final day. If it had just rained for 3 days, here we go.
Exactly. Ahead of some big names. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Tied with Corey Alice. Tied with Calvin Heimberg. Tied with Chris Clemens. Taking scalps like Scott Withers, Chris Dickinson.
Major winner, Chris Dickinson.
Major winner, Chris Dickinson. Ezra Adderhold. Look, the list goes on. Like, it was a sick, sick round one by David Perry.
Yeah.
But let's not talk about him again.
it did drop off. He did not play round four.
It did peter out, and he did not play round four. But still cool. I mean, it still finishes with a 999 event.
Yeah.
Like, all said and done, he still comes home with a 999 event, which is not too shabby, but obviously not what he's looking for. I had Gannon Burr in my tips, and God, it was up and down. How crazy is this? Paul McBeth went minus 14 round one and then played three more rounds of disc golf and finished minus 15.
That's fucked.
Yeah.
That's fucked. It's, I don't know. I don't know what his deal is. Like, he obviously still has, like, goat of goat potential, because this is the third or something hot round that he shot on the tour this year. And normally by, like, this was by three strokes, and I think he's had another one that was by three or four strokes.
Mm-hmm.
So he still has all-time GOAT potential in him, but I just, I don't know. The more I see it, the more I'm like, he'll never win again. Because he must have just lost that killerness or something. I don't know. Old McBeth, he shoots a neg 14. Next best is Andrew Miranda and Jesse Niemann. He's five strokes ahead of the next player that might actually beat him. He would never lose this. Give him 100 rounds, they won't catch him.
Yeah.
But yeah, neg one through the next three. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah. But it was that type of event. I mean, and a lot of players were up and down. And I mean, Calvin Heimberg scrapes the cash line, like just rides that cash line day three all day, and then pulls out a minus 12 and comes fucking top 10.
Ridiculous. I he was my tip, because he finishes top five at every major.
Yeah.
So I was like, yep, we'll get that for sure. And then I was like, oh, cool, I'm getting smoked. But yeah, ends up in eighth. I'm like, I'll take it. But yeah, it was weird. It was really weird out there.
I had Gannon Burr. You know, I'm not tipping Gannon Burr and hoping for anything less than a podium at a major. And he took fourth. So I feel shortchanged there as well. But still, he shot a minus eight and jumped four spots to even get that fourth. So, like, on the final day, it felt good. But he was just light on all week. Not what we were looking for. A weird event. And who takes it out? None other than, what is it now, four-time major winner, two times Champions Cup, two times Worlds. Yeah. He takes down the big ones as well. Not only does he take down majors, I feel like he's taken down some spicy majors. Isaac Robinson just gets it done.
Yeah. Elite event by him. Very consistent the whole way through. And Isaac, so he's a man who knows, like, what his disc golf history and where he's at. And I'm trying to look it up now, but I'm getting stuck on a Reddit hole. But he says, once you start looking at the list of all-time greats, that number of major wins, like, it starts at four. And he's like, mm-hmm. I'm at four. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. Like, I'm like, wow. It sounds so weird to think about that. But, I'm trying to find the list. That one I had doesn't have him on it at all, and he's definitely got a few. So, but yeah, if he is in all-time company, then I don't know. It's like an enigma, because he's only had one other win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, he doesn't miss about. He likes the big ones.
Yeah.
First victory, big victory, obviously, definitely under. Who did he end up going to? Latitude, is it?
Latitude, yep.
Yeah. So it's good to see these players that have changed companies. Well, it's good and crazy and scary that, like, they've just got a brand new bag and they're still just fucking taking down majors. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well done, Isaac. Getting it done over AB. And Andrew Marweed, podium at Champions Cup. So,
yeah, that's huge.
That's a big, big result for Marweed there as well.
Yeah, I'm looking at the all-time major winners list. You got Ken Climo at 18 and Paul McBeth at 17. GOAT tier. You've got Dave Fellberg, Ricky Wysocki, and Barry Schultz, 7, 6, and 5. And then Nate Doss, Will Shrewsbury, and Isaac Robertson at 4. I mean, it's like, that's... what do you say about that? Like... You know what I mean? That's crazy.
It is.
That's crazy.
He's good, and he ain't done. He's gonna win more. Nah,
it's yeah. And it's Nate was talking about it on the commentary. He's like, we judge our success on majors. Like that's what we do it for. And now he's got 4. Like, what do you? Who cares if he doesn't win any other events?
So good.
Yeah. So now that was really cool to see. AB there in second, you said, I think, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Some other big showings. Sullivan Tipton. So, big event by him. The players talk about him a lot for having, just no flaws in his game. So, he's actually having a really nice year from what I can say. And Andrew Presnell. So, winner of it last year and takes 8th place this year. And it's not even remotely the same course. But they're probably his two, that was 100% his best finish last year, of course. And 8th, I think, is his best finish so far this year in a tournament. So
for sure.
It's not about Champs Cup. Just the man fires up for it.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
There was definitely some storylines in the FPO as well.
Yeah, for sure. What'd you see on that?
So I was watching this because I got up early and went for a run.
Nice.
And because it's in California, you know, normally that would mean I'd have to get up at 3 a.m. to watch the FPO play, but yeah. No, up at 5 o'clock and you get to see some FPO. And yeah, I saw a spicy situation, which is out there in the disc golf media, so to speak, but Kristen Tatar was going toe-to-toe with Missy Gannon, making gains, coming down the stretch, having birdied 13, 14, and 15, going 3 under through those 3 holes in the same spot where Missy Gannon had gone even. And so it was all of a sudden, it was like, she's just going to get it done. She's just going to claw him back Terminator style and just get the W here. And then gets called for a foot fault on 16 by a marshal. And boy, is it blown up.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts? First off, was it a foot fault?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, technically, she kicked her disc.
Yes. Yeah. So what are your thoughts?
So I've heard it brought up that it's unfair to have marshals patrolling only a few of the carts. And I agree. Like, if everyone else has to self-govern and you have marshals patrolling just a few of the carts, then, yeah, I don't know. It's everyone's not playing by the same rules, I guess, then. So I don't think anyone else would have picked it up. Like, she barely kicked it, barely touched it. I'm sure no one else on her card would have seen it and said anything. So it's only because they had a marshal there and they don't have marshals on all the cards. So I think it's trash.
Yeah, you? Cool.
Other way.
I don't think it's trash. I think it needs a lot of work. Like I said, I think it was a foot fault.
Mm-hmm.
I think the players don't self-govern because of fear of retribution.
Yeah.
And so the marshal is there to make a call and makes a call like in any other sport. And it's going to be, you know, you've got to slow it down to frame per frame. But that, you know, there's just not a sport that's not a reality for when you've got referees making decisions. It turns out to be correct. Even if it turned out to be incorrect, it's like, look, in the moment, she's throwing a shot, the disc slides forward, like it looks like a foot fault. It's a foot fault. So I'm like comfortable with the marshal's decision in every way, shape, and form. But I fully appreciate the unfair argument. And, you know, there's been all sorts of like still shots put up on Reddit and stuff of like Paige Pierce almost stepping over her disc on the exact same hole a day earlier. You've got men on lead card stepping all over their disc. Like, you know, if you start to fine tooth combing everything on Joe Mears, you're going to find foot faults everywhere. You won't have to look very hard on any of Park Media to find me foot fault in all sorts of spots. So then another take is the rule a bit out of shape? Because like what advantage, particularly from that situation, like you're actually just doing yourself a disservice. For anyone that's had the pleasure of kicking a disc or accidentally stepping on their disc in a throw, it never works out better than you planned.
Is
it that the rule's a bit out of shape, and does it need to be a bit more like cricket, where like that's your line? If your foot's fully over the line, well, that's a foot fault. If you step on the line, which means obviously stepping on your mini or stepping on your disc, well, good luck. You're not going to like that stance.
Yeah.
Best you try to avoid that. I don't know. I think it brings – that's the bigger question that I'm left with, because there was nothing – there's nothing to gain from that. So, like, it's a bit of a weird rule.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine it's mostly – like, you have to draw a line somewhere, but it's probably mostly for, like, maybe when you're in a bad spot and you're – you know, you've marked your line – and now you got to step out from a bush, or even like putting or whatever, you know what I mean? Like just to be that.
Yeah.
So there's got to be something, but yeah, definitely, I don't know. It definitely looks a little weird when she's just there barely kicking that. And then you're like, oh, well, that's a stroke. And you're like, ugh, all right. Yep. She technically did.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe there could be something more like cricket that could come into play there, but I don't know. It's tough. It'll probably just nothing will happen and then it won't be a factor again and for another 8 months, and then something will happen and we'll just keep on that perpetual cycle forever. Because it definitely does. Yeah.
One thing I haven't seen get picked up anywhere, it'd be interesting if it comes up on the tee off or whatever, but Kristen Tatar's body language was not appropriate.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't actually see the video. I only saw the foot kick.
There were moments where she was borderline invading the marshal's personal space.
Okay.
And there was a lot of finger pointing, and there was a lot of the marshal having to justify his decision, and Kristen Tatar not letting it go. And I just think, like, if that was Nico LeCastro, like, it's a 12-month ban.
Yeah, he
like,
got a lengthy suspension.
Yeah, like, his was way worse, don't get me wrong. But, like, still, if he was to pull something like that, it's going down, and I just have to wonder if it was a dude getting up in the marshal's face and like essentially just having to go at a referee. I think I see more of it on social media this week, and
yeah,
I watched it live, and I was like, "Phew, that's like, let it go, Kristen. Like, you've asked him six times now. Like, stop going up to him and asking him this. Like, you like." He possibly feels intimidated right now. You are the world's best player.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, stop intimidating the marshal. And I was just like, I wonder if this plays out differently if it's a dude doing this.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it would. I didn't even hear about that. Didn't even see that being a thing. So, yeah, wild. That was if it was 100%, ain't Nico or anyone else. So, that would be a factor. So, interesting.
I might, if I get some time and energy, I might go splice it up a little bit, and I'll be the guy that throws it out there, and I'll tag her and everything. No, I won't. But yeah, I
was like,
yeah,
that'd be interesting.
Surprised. I'm just surprised I've not seen it. Like I haven't or heard it. Yeah,
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you for sure. A new name, well, new name to me, but I think she's been playing for a little bit now, had a super hot round in round one. I actually had a listen to her. She went on Tour Life. Hannah, I don't know how to say that, Huinen something?
Huinen.
Huinen.
I thought you were going to say Paige Pierce.
No, she's not going on Tour Life. huge round, neg nine. First round, and then some decent one in two, I think, and sort of dropped off in three and four. But She's definitely one to watch, which is pretty cool. You don't shoot an egg nine by accident. But yeah, you do mention Paige Pierce in third place, which is a huge event for her. She hasn't been anywhere near the top 10, well, the top five anyway, in a while. So very good event. I think she played really well here at OTB Open as well too. So she must like that course. Did we mention Missy who won, or we just were straight on Kristen?
Missy Gannon played disc golf and got it done.
Yeah, cool.
Well done, Missy Gannon. Yeah, Kristen got foot folded and that was all she wrote. And Missy got it done. Who did you tip?
I tipped On, which sucked. On was terrible. She was came 15th.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fucked. Yeah. I didn't know. She played well at OTB Open, so I was like, cool, I'll go with On. And she's trash. So, cheers.
I tip KL, and again, it's similar to Gannon. Like, I don't tip KL wanting to get a second. I tip KL wanting to get a first. So, even though I've got a fourth and a second, I feel shortchanged.
Mm. Well, yeah, big money Missy takes it down. But it turns out this is not, like, we associate her with taking down big events. But I think she just takes down, like, the Elite Series pluses or just... You know, some of them just have more cash than others. And she keeps winning the end of season thing. Because I think this is her second major win. And we kind of associate her with having a heap of them. But still, two is nothing to sneeze at. And Kat Allen in eighth place, just starting to tick together some nice rounds again. It wasn't that long ago that Kat Allen was one of the three best players in the world.
Exactly. And it wasn't that long ago that she was 9 months pregnant. So yeah. She's about to back quick. So she'll be featuring in our tips at some point.
Mm, definitely. Very nice. I've got on here Vic Tour update, but you probably don't have that ready and we don't have time. So we'll have to look at that another day. But what we should look at is
what Vic Tour event happened that I need to update?
The Vic Open.
Sweet. So, that's right.
The main. The main one.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, cool. Cool. I'm like, is the Masters on the Vic Tour? What's happening? No. What have I missed?
But with only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 social days left, we should have our second or third look, but we'll have our first look at the season one social day leaderboard. And, add on top, unsurprisingly, the only person who has two wins this year is Kalen. So he's 750 and in second place, Peter Chu with a 713. So pretty comfortably on top. But I don't think, Penn's in third, but only with seven events. So he's still got one up the sleeve and he's playing this weekend. So we'll see how that shakes out. Not many people have the eight in at the moment. So definitely a lot of... room for jumping. We got Tim Ware in fourth, Juan in fifth. You find myself there with a sneaky little sixth. Brett Zeeple 7, Matt Daniels 8, Max Tatz 9, and Zolt rounding out the top 10. So I might, I just registered actually for, is it Sunday, Mother's Day?
Bicentennial, yeah.
Yeah, so I might do a little sneaky that and then go have lunch with my mother, so I might get that second win of the year myself.
Look out.
That could be a goer. I've got a couple of trucks. I've got a 75 in there, so I need a win and I need to drop off some other stuff if I want to have any chance. A 75 and an 82 is not going to get it done for me, but Kalen's got a 70 in there, so he's got big room for improvement as well. So it's going to be tough because Kalen's got two wins, couple 98s, 97, so we shall see, but this has been the most in the mix I've been in for a couple of social day seasons, I think, so I'm excited.
Yeah, awesome.
All right, should we do a bit of Thrallers Guarantee?
I'm ready.
Lovely. There's not much on this weekend, but Bicentennial, right?
Yeah, that's all I'm looking at.
Cool, I'll get it up then myself. Big. I need 6 points, eh? Or to win. I'm trying to figure out, do I play strategic and just try to chop off a couple of threes?
Mm.
I'm trying to figure it out, but I don't want to get myself in a situation where, I could get a three next week and win it, but maybe you take a six and it then you win it or something. So I don't know. We'll see. I'll see what I like. I'm staying away from Div B, Div C, Div anything else. You guys are too volatile. I'm not getting Josh Quinn. So I'm a have a look at Div A at the more consistent boys there. What do we got? We've got some good names. Penn's in. Diros is in. Dykesy. I feel like I haven't seen Dykesy all year. Have you?
No, he's been up and down. He's been just training and lots of field work, I understand. And he's finally got his putting absolutely mastered. You should tip him.
Yeah.
No, he's beat out with his shoulder injury.
Yeah, gotcha. All right. Well, I see Brett and Narada, the twinsies. What's a head-to-head looking like for Brett and Narada?
Brett is a 4, Narada is a 6.
Brett's a 4, Narada's a 6. Yikes. 6 is all I need, eh? Brett is much, much better metrics rating than Narada. Is this the hill I want to die on here? All right, I'll keep that in the barrel. I don't mind that. I don't mind a 6 there for Narada. All right, I'll have one more little sneaky one. What about Mike van der Linden? Nah, never. No, actually, he's on my Nova tip list. I feel like every time I put him in, I reckon I get stitched up. So I think I'm going to stay away from that one. What do we got? Peter Chu and Lachlan McKenzie.
Peter Chu and Lachlan McKenzie. 5-5.
I don't like 5. Fuck it. Let's go with Narada. I'll take Narada to beat Brett for 6 and a win.
All right. I like head-to-head Aiden Howard, Ryan Deer.
Aiden and Ryan. What are we looking at? Yeah, they got to be close enough to 5s for mine.
Wowee. I will take Aiden.
Aiden for 5. And I got Narada for 6 over Brett.
Aiden's at least worth a 6, but I'll take it. I'll take a 5.
Can't be that bad if you want him.
Well, I want him, but... Ryan Deere's the Vic Open champion.
He is at a big, wide open course. And we're going to play a little half-wooded putter course. So I don't know if that translates to the same thing.
All right.
We got a trollers then? Yeah.
Yeah, I've got you got to give me a quick trollers. Give me you to raw podium.
Me to raw podium. I shouldn't do that, right? You got Penn, Deer, Dang, but I don't know. Oh, it's not Ryan, that it's not that Leo. Many though. Top 2? I'll give you for top 2.
Let's go.
You shouldn't do that because I'll just throw it. I'll be playing at 10:30. If it gets to that stage, I'll just throw it.
Josh Quinn to podium Div B.
Oh, I was going to... My trollers was going to be straight up Josh Quinn to win, Div B.
Yeah, you can have 10 for that.
Yeah.
All right. I got it. Yeah. I'll stay away from Josh Quinn then. I will go... I'll do You top two raw.
All right, done.
Yep.
That's so, yep. I love that you've done that because I cannot come top two. I will throw it. That's so crazy. cool. Guaranteed you can't get it. Big. Did we come up with a punishment? I know Chris Scott had one that I really liked. a punishment idea. So do you remember what he said?
Can't remember. Remind me.
Okay, I'll remind you off air because it's kind of important that that no one else knows about it. But
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know if it's possible because it takes outside forces. But
yeah.
But I did like that. I thought that was a really good one. Yeah. So we'll see how we go. Hopefully, we'll be discussing my wonderful victory next week when Narada smashes Brett.
Yes, correct.
All right, let's finish with some spotlight, not light. You got anything?
Well, I've already done the Bob Gentile clean back punt there. Yeah, that's got to be my spotlight. I find that very good at Mount Saviour.
Well, mine, I've got a few things. Duncan McIntosh rolled up to caddy for Matt Hunter on day one, and he had the full white jumpsuit, like the caddy outfit, and brought like a broom so he could sweep down all the tee pads for Matt. So I thought that was really good of Duncan there. I'll give the tee off a little shout out too. So we normally give them lots of shit, and they have absolutely nothing to give back to us, which is funny. But they did have a nice little dig at me, which was well done. They they were talking about the Vic Open and Ryan Deere taking down the big victory, and then Timmy B is like, "Oh, I've actually just got a little quick clip here from Throllers I might want to play," and it's just me going, "Well, we know Ryan Deere's shit, so he has zero chance of winning." No context in and out, just that. I was like, yep, I did. Yeah, he got me there. So that was pretty nice. I did like that. And they had our boy Chris Scott on, so that was good to see. So a little plug for them. But my actual spotlight will go to Ben Ayres, who is an OG Melbourne, yes, one of the founding fathers, one of the first sort of six, I think, life members, of which we had three of them out playing at the Masters event on the weekend, which was really awesome. But I caught up with him and a buddy of his, if I can find the name, Andrew Reeves, on the Friday night, and they twisted my arm coming out and having a few extra bevvies with him after everyone went to bed. And yeah, we had a pretty fun night. So I enjoyed that. They let me crash in their hotel room.
Awesome.
So that was pretty good. Enjoyed that. So shout out to Ben and Andrews, Andrew, sorry. And Ben, once he found out we had the pod, he just went quick follow. So we got one more listener.
Beautiful. Good work, Ben. I did see a little statistic online. He last played roughly 7 years ago at this golf event, and he last played before that 7 years before that.
Yeah.
So he's played like two events in 14 years.
Exactly.
I love that by Ben. And Mark Hardy sent me a little chat during the week because obviously Ben was definitely around the traps where me and Hardy started playing, and he put it into our group chat saying he probably should go have another 7 year break based on those rounds.
Wasn't ideal.
Look, not lights. I don't really have any. The statistics were light on at Masters. I'm trying to follow along. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I'm trying to figure out why everyone just felt a bit flat. Were they missing putts? Were they not hitting fairways? I don't know. There was a lack thereof statistics. It's so easy to do on the PDG app. So get around the PDG app scoring, please, in the future. Old cuts.
Yeah, but that might not be a them problem. So if we look at round one, MA60, and click on Jeff Brunsting's name. They're all there. Never mind. No, they're just lazy. When I was doing it, because I did all his scoring and his stats for him, I was the best caddy you'd ever seen. They weren't showing up. And they weren't up after the round either, so I thought there was some shenanigans, but I guess they're all clear there now. But yeah, now more and more people get around it, and I like it. So now I'm with you. It disappoints me when people don't do it.
Yeah.
My not light, believe it or not, is going to go to Ben Ayres. You did mention that he was trash, which is funny. But as a repercussion for now being in the Masters division and having a random night out on the piss with me, he found himself throwing up in the bushes pre and during round number one. Which nice, I thought was very funny. I thought that was really good. So, but it's still worthy of a not light. And the other one that I'll mention, so his mate, Andrew Reeves, who I guess has just played, he's used to play Ultimate, and he's played casually like a couple times. And he's got his arm, we got talked into coming and playing up with Ben. And where I watched him tee off for hole one, and he's like, "What? So what's the mini? Like, what's this thing? What do I even do with it?" Never seen a mini. Didn't know how to use a mini. So he's obviously never played any tournament rounds before. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people shot worse than him. I mean, you all need to have a... oh, no, that was just round one. Yeah, you all need to have a good, long, hard look at yourself.
yeah.
Because he just... yeah, that's. I think it was even worse. Yeah, 10 people shot worse than him. 7 was after round one, including his cousin, Ash Brookers.
Yeah, which small is world.
Small world. Ash caught him in round two to avoid, like, oh, that was going to be my main not light, was Ash getting rolled by his cousin who doesn't even know what a frisbee is. but there is a pretty substantial list. It's like Zolt, who plays a lot, Daniel Blackburn. Like, there's some names in there just getting rolled by a guy who just showed up. Not good.
Love that.
not good. cool. I think that's it. Another long pod. A bit to go on. Next week will be a bit more chill because there's nothing going on.
Yeah. We'll rein it back in. 2 hours next week.
Yeah. It's like every time we do that, we find something new. So. Cool. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.